And at the height of his glory, Christ will return from heaven and he will crush Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet by the breath of his mouth, meaning very easily the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. What kind of wonders? What kind of miracles? That's hard to imagine. Most of them, all of them, will be illusions. He will be a master sorcerer, the master of illusion and magic. To give you some sort of an idea of this type of imagery and the powerful sorcery that the devil is capable of, we will take a look at a scenario from the life of St. John the Apostle. St. John was exiled in Patmos. Before he got there, the people were pagans. They worshipped Apollo, many other gods, and on the island was a great sorcerer. This sorcerer had tremendous power, and his name was Synapse. Synapse was the tool of the devil. He had an entourage of magicians around him, and he was their spiritual father and their leader, so to speak. He lived somewhere in the wilderness, and he was telling the magicians, "If you ever need me, you come to me. I don't come to you." The devil, who always makes deals with his subjects as long as they worship him, allocated several demons to constantly serve Synapse. So when St. John began to bring people to Christ, the priests of Apollo got very upset. So they ran to Synapse. Synapse sent several demons to stop John, but John was very, very strong in his prayer, and he inactivated the demons. Finally, Synapse, with legions of demons, comes to town to fight John face to face, and the battle begins. Synapse tells the crowds that this man is a deceiver, and he is no match for Synapse. And the crowd used to fall down and yell, "Great are you, Synapse! There is nobody greater than you." Now Synapse turns to a young man and asks him, "Young man, where is your father?" The person answered, "My father drowned at sea many, many years ago." Then Synapse tells John, "Go ahead, show us your power and bring back the boy's father. Bring him up from the sea alive and well." John replied, "Christ did not send me to resurrect, but to teach the truth to the people." Then Synapse tells the crowd, "Now you will see that this John is a deceiver, and he is lying to you. He just knows some magic. So please hold on to him, hold on to him tight, until I bring the boy's father alive from the sea." Synapse claps his hands, and there's a great explosion. Synapse disappears into the sea, and in a few seconds, he appears from the sea holding the father of the boy alive and well. The crowd goes wild, and it attacks John, nearly killing him. After this, John tells Synapse that you and your works will perish soon. Yes, the crowd saw a man coming out of the sea. They saw the boy's father, except it was not the boy's father. He was a demon. Synapse left at this point, thinking that the crowd killed John. But a couple days later, his informants, the priests, came and told him, "We don't know what's going on, but John is preaching again. He's baptizing Christians." Synops became irate, and he went back to town, and he said, "Now, John, I'm going to teach you a great lesson." Synops had with him three demons, and they looked like regular persons, and invited John to come and show. John, using the power of the cross, made the demons glued to their spots, leaving Synops helpless and unable to come up for air after Synops dove into the sea. In a few minutes, Synops was found in the bottom, and he never showed up again. And something else from the Gerontikon, or the Book of the Desert Fathers. There was a monk in Mount Athos who lived by himself. He lived as a hermit for many, many years in his own skete. At some point, some visitors appeared to him explaining that the Patriarch of Constantinople died and the Christians want a pious man like you to be the successor of the throne. They send us as representatives, and we beg you to accept. The poor monk at first said, "No, no, I'm not worthy," but he did not really mean it. He was a victim of some hidden pride, and eventually he accepted. He prepared himself, and he walked along with the representatives to the beach. When he got there, he saw this most beautiful ship a couple of hundred yards away. And there was a small boat supposed to take him from land to the large ship. He saw people in the boat waving and asking him to come aboard. He did not know what to think. He was ready to step on the little boat which would take him to the large ship, but as a man of God, before he set foot at sea, he blessed himself with the sign of the cross, and instantly everything vanished. Everything vanished. No visitors, no boat, no ship, just the deep sea ready to drown him because he did not know how to swim. My brothers and sisters, that's the devil. This is Satan that will deceive the world. Years ago, many churches, especially the Anglican churches, held the funeral of the devil. "Stop talking about demons and Satans," they said, "because it is not a pleasant subject to the ears of the congregation." Society today has classified anything outside their intellectual understanding as parapsychology. But for us Orthodox Christians, that's not the proper word. The word is demonology. And while reading about this story, a strange thought came to my mind. If the devil could bring forth a whole boat and put it out into the sea, could he also bring about a spaceship and stick it into the sky? I don't know the answer to that. Demons are real for Christians. The devil is real. Let no one deceive you, St. Paul says. The Antichrist will perform miracles, and the miracles will be so much greater and possibly more powerful than the ones that we just mentioned. His miracles will be boosted by advanced technology. We have technology today that can write 3D messages in the sky or present 3D portraits. The technology is here. I'm not against technology. Technology is good, but somebody is going to use it for the wrong reasons. Only the vigilant, practicing, God-fearing members of the Church of Christ will be in position to recognize the deceit of the devil. The rest of them will be marked by the mark of the spirit of the Antichrist or by the actual and historical mark of the Antichrist during or before his 3.5 years kingdom. My friends, it is almost time to close, but there are many, many topics that we haven't touched upon. The mark of the beast, the false prophet, Babylon the Great, Armageddon, and much, much more. In closing, we will use the advice of Saint Cyril of Jerusalem. Christians, ensure yourselves. You have the signs of the Antichrist. Do not keep these for yourselves only, but pass them to all those around you. If you have children, instruct them. If you have spiritual brothers and sisters, ensure them so that they don't accept the liar in the place of the true one. My friends, we now conclude our 3-part series on the second coming of Christ. Your interest and attentiveness is humbling to us. Most importantly, your congregation being a small one, but what's impressive is the high percentage of faithful that decided to attend. This is a credit to you and to the good shepherds that have watched over this flock, Father Romanchek and also Father Gregory. May God bless them and you and your families and give you his kingdom. And now we will answer some of the questions that often come up when we do these topics. And one of the questions is it possible for people to get all caught up with this type of information? The signs, the coming of the Antichrist, the number 666, and the mark repeating the syndrome of the Thessalonians. Yes, there's a lot of truth in this, and the reason for that is that when we are not totally prepared and we are not vigilant Christians, then when something like this happens and we have to make quick decisions, then we can get caught up. As I told you about 2-3 weeks ago, 1,000 antichrists cannot do anything to us if we live the life of Christ. However, the danger is that a lot of our lukewarm Christians all of a sudden hear something, and unfortunately, when the fear of God is not there properly and promptly, then phobias can come in. One of the church fathers said that if you fear God, you fear nothing else. So these are the two extremes. Somebody can get so caught up that they can become psychotic. And we have people that become sick over this type of information. I have people telling me on a daily basis, 1995 is the year. I bet you, 1995. And I say, well, let me ask you, what's going to happen to your faith when 1995 comes, and I'm telling you that we will be sitting here and it's not going to be that year because we will be still talking about this. But the thing is that when we are not ready and our feet are not on solid ground, then we're going to be shaken. We also have the problem of the universal product code, which for years, Athenite fathers even, and a lot of people, this is no secret, for years, they are able to distinguish the number 666 on this universal product code. In the same way, we have the number 666 in New York City, and also the New Age movement believes that the number 666 is the lucky number, their lucky number. And it is true that in the last decade, there has been a surplus of that number going around. I'm not going to explain. Maybe Father Gregory later on can explain how the association of the 666 number is established on the computer and the universal product code. Some of the Christians are already aware of this, and they can explain this to you. But Apple believes that 666 is the perfect number for the computer. As a matter of fact, they had a celebration they celebrated the fact that 666 is the perfect number for the computer. As a matter of fact, when one of their computers came out, they were so excited about this that they priced it at $666. Now, all these things are significant. And, of course, we have on the Greek 5,000 drachma bill, we have the number 666 camouflaged somehow. And when I was in Greece in October, supposedly the European and intra-European card, which is supposed to be all over Europe soon, has the number 666 on it as well. And in the country of Greece, there was an uproar from the Christian brothers. They fought this type of thing, and they were totally convinced that they were not going to accept this card, and to this point, they have not done so. And I believe that these are the two extremes. The one extreme is to say that nothing is going on. Let's not even talk about it. This could be take place 1,000 years down the line, 500 years. You know, let's talk about something more meaningful. No, this is dangerous. This is one of the extremes. The other extreme is I'm not going to carry a MasterCard or a Visa or any card because they might have the number 666 in there. Those are the two extremes. No, we are not being marked by carrying a MasterCard or a Visa. However, what happens is we are becoming comfortable and used to this type of thing. It's like the bullfrog theory that I heard a long time ago. If you want to boil a frog, I guess for frog legs, you don't throw him in hot water because he will jump out time after time again. They did this type of experiment. You throw him in cold water and then you slowly turn on the heat. The water will get warm. The frog will fall asleep. His nervous system will relax. And he will slowly be cooked. So basically, this is exactly what happens with these things. We slowly begin to compromise our values. We slowly accept things. We are slowly going to give up our checking account. We will have no need for checks anymore. We need to save the trees. We will slowly be given a universal card. And we will slowly be asked that even this card is not that safe because it can be stolen from you. So we will slowly and very, 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 very nonchalantly be asked to take a mark on our hand, actually a small computer chip that's going to have all the information we need, and it will be with us. Nobody can steal it from us. These things will happen. They're happening at this point. Actually, some of these things are happening in the state of Ohio. They're issuing the smart card that can have 4 or 5 different accounts on it, and it can have your passport number, your identification number. All these things, once again, are going to happen sooner or later, and it may take another 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 years. We don't know exactly. So again, as Christians, it would not hurt to keep our eyes open, but at the same time, we are not going to take a whole year to study this type of information only. We must be a little concerned if this is the only thing that we want to study about the Bible while ignoring the rest of the gospel and the rest of the scriptures. Another question that people often have is about the mark of the beast, the mark of the Antichrist. Yes, we must know that the false prophet will work in such a way whereby the threat of monetary sanctions, he will force a mark, a seal, in the right hand or on the forehead of all those who accept the Antichrist. It has to do with an indelible, unerasable, and uniquely specialized identification card, which will be the betrayal of the seal of the Holy Spirit. In other words, anyone who receives the mark denies his baptism. Unfortunately, at that point, the Holy Spirit of God leaves that person completely, and that person becomes incapable to repent. There's no room for repentance. The Lord mentioned the example of the wife of Lot. The Lord told the family that no one should look back. Anyone that looks back to Sodom and Gomorrah will surely die. And of course, as we know, Lot's wife looked back, and at that point, she became a pillar of salt. A similar situation will take place to anyone who takes the mark of the Antichrist. The mark will be some sort of baptism, so to speak, into the name of the Antichrist. It would be the total denial of the Holy Trinity, denying that Jesus Christ is God, believing that the Antichrist is God, believing that Jesus Christ was false, because that is exactly what the Antichrist will be teaching, and accepting the Antichrist as true God. And at that point, there will be no forgiveness available to anyone, and this is why, for everybody who wants to continue to be a member of the Church of Christ, during the days of the Antichrist, they will either have to leave society according to the book of the Revelation, where it states that the woman will flee into the desert for 1260 days, where it will be taken care of by God. The woman is the church, and as we know, God in the Old Testament has provided manna for the Jews. And God can very well do this very thing, and God can provide and take care of the Christians who will be forced to evacuate, so to speak, to be able to avoid the forces of the Antichrist. However, we know a lot of strong Christians will stay into the city to fight the forces of the Antichrist, and a lot of them will shed their blood. And as Saint Cyril says, the saints of the last days will be greater than the saints of all times. Again, as we mentioned at other sessions, the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit, or actually the highest gift, is the gift of martyrdom. So Christ will be there. Christ will be strengthening Christians till the very end. He will never leave, and he will not forsake the true Christians until the end of times, as he promised.
Άξιον εστίνος αληθώς, μακαρίζειν σε την Θεοτόκον, την Άη μακαρίστον και Παναμόμητον και Μητέρα του Θεού ημών. Την τιμιωτέραν των χερουβήμ και εν δοξωτέραν ασυγκρίτως των σεραφείμ, την αδιαθώρος Θεόν λόγον τεκούσαν, την όντως Θεοτόκον σε μεγαλύνομεν, την υψηλωτέραν των ουρανών και καθαρωτέραν λαμπιδόνων ηλιακών, την λυτρωσαμένην ημάς εκ της κατάρας, την δέσποιναν του κόσμου ημνηστή μισομέν. Από τον πολλών μου αμαρτιών ασθενεί το σώμα, ασθενεί μου και η ψυχή. Προς εκαταφεύγω την και χαριτωμένη ελπίζα απελπισμένον σοι μη βοήθησον. Δέσποινα και μήτυρ του λυτρωτού δέξε παρακλήσεις αναξίων σώνη και τον ή να με συντεύσεις προς τον εξού τεχθέντα. Ο δέσποινα του κόσμου γεννούμε σύτρια. Σαλόμεν προθύμωση την οδύνην τη πανινήτω Θεοτόκο χαρμονικός μετά του προδρόμου και πάντων των Αγίων δισόπι Θεοτόκε του ικτηρίσε ημάς. Αλλά τα χείλη των ασεβών των μη προσκυνούντων την εικόνα σου την σεπτήν την ιστορηθήσαν υπό του Αποστόλου Λουκά η ερωτά του την οδηγήτρια.
Τη τρίτη εσπέρα.
Υμνώ σου την σταύρωσιν αγαθέ, υμνώ σου τα πάθη, προσκυνώ σου και την ταφήν. Του σύλλους την λόγχην των καλάμων των σφόγγων τα πάντα προσκυνώ σου σώτερ μακρόθι με.
Η πέμπτη εσπέρα.
Θέλω να σταυρώθεις ο λυτρωτά και τραυματίστης υπεράγαθε διέμε και λόγχη ετρώθη στην αχράντων πλευράν σου υμνώ τα μεγαλεία της εις θεότητος.